much for checking out this Friday Facebook mailbag. My name is Drew Doherty. This is Nick Scherfield. We're moving around the stadium, kind of mixing things up just for the heck of it. So we're going to answer your questions on Facebook. And we start things off with one from Daniel Johnson. He wants to know, what will J.J. Watt have to do in the next 2 weeks to get the MVP? We all know he deserves it. Well, you'd probably find two guys right here, if they had a vote, would certainly put J.J. Watt's check mark there for the MVP award. But I don't think he's going to win it just because of the bias against defensive players and the premium placed on the quarterback position. But to answer the question, I think he would probably need 15 sacks in each game, 3 forced fumbles, and probably 4 interception returns for touchdowns to get MVP consideration. That's how thick-headed sometimes MVP voters can be.
Yeah, he needs 3.5 sacks to break the all-time record, 22.5 set by Michael Strahan back in 2001 for a single season. You know, I think if he got 6 or 7 sacks in the last 2 games, then he actually would have a decent chance of getting it. You know, he very well may be deserving of it, but there are also guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning who are having outstanding seasons, and Adrian Peterson could break the NFL rushing record. And the bottom line is, like you said, Drew, there's a big bias that goes towards offensive players. It's kind of like the Heisman Trophy. J.J. Watt said that yesterday. That's just the way it is. You know, since the NFL MVP has been awarded in the 50s by the Associated Press, it's been 37 quarterbacks, 17 running backs, 1 place kicker in a strike-shortened season, I think it was, and then and then 2 defensive players have won it. The last one, Lawrence Taylor in 1986 with a great season that he had for the Giants, and then Alan Page, the Minnesota Vikings defensive tackle, back in 1971, I believe it was. So it doesn't happen very often, and, you know, Wade Phillips, Texans defensive coordinator, said on Thursday, he's coached Reggie White, he's coached Bruce Smith. J.J. Watt is playing at that level, and he thought those guys, you know, were probably playing at MVP caliber levels when he coached them in some of their seasons. They never won the award, and it's unlikely J.J. Watt will. Certainly, though, I think, you know, he's all but locked up Defensive Player of the Year honors, unless Alden Smith goes and breaks Michael Strahan's sack record by, you know, unless he goes out and breaks it, J.J. Watt doesn't, then it could be called into question. But what he's done, not just sacks, but playing against the run, batting down passes. It's been a historic season for him, and he very well should earn Defensive Player of the Year and should get consideration for MVP. We'll see how much he does.
Next question comes from Stephanie Ramirez. This one's a doozy, Nick, and it's one that stumped you and me and a few other folks. How many footballs are used in the whole football season, including the playoff season? Well, we asked, and for a home game, the Texans equipment staff has 30 footballs ready. For an away game, 24 balls are ready, but sometimes a ball might get used, you know, in consecutive games or a few games. It depends on how things go. But they always have 30 and 24 at the ready.
Yep, they do, and they change them out all the time. Thank you to the Texans equipment services staff, Jay Brunetti, Chris Snow, Mike Parson, Kyle Kamau, all those guys for helping us out with that one.
They do a great job. All right, Ricardo Chavez says this. Is there any timeline on when Brooks Reed may return? Well, Wednesday and Thursday he practiced, went through a full practice. Remains to be seen what he'll do on Friday at practice, but head coach Gary Kubiak was very confident about what he saw from Brooks. Brooks said on Wednesday he's going to be ready to go. We will see on Sunday, right before, about an hour and a half before, when the inactives and actives are released.
Kubiak said on Wednesday, after Reed returned to practice from that groin injury which he suffered on Thanksgiving Day at Detroit, Kubiak said this is the week they targeted all along, the game they targeted all along for Brooks Reed to be able to come back from, and he looked good on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday was a light day. Thursday, really their big work day during the week, and he took a full load, handled it very well. Kubiak said all indications are he should be back out there. So now you're getting a player who Wade Phillips said is strong. He's got tenacity. He said he's a force when he's out there against the tight end on the other team. So it's going to be good to have him back. You pair him with Whitney Merciless and Connor Barwin. You've got a very, very stout outside linebacking trio, and those guys are going to be able to spell each other, keep each other fresh as the season and postseason goes on.
All right, and our final question comes from none other than Daniel Velasquez. He says, now that the defense has had a couple of weeks without Cush, do you guys think they have fully adapted to playing without him? Cushing was my favorite when he played. Well, he's a lot of players' favorite, or a lot of fans' favorites, and I don't think the defense is ever going to adapt totally to losing a guy who was your MVP overall in 2011. Now, the guys in his place have played admirably. The guys around him have kind of picked up the slack. They all said they were going to do that. But I don't know that you can ever fully adjust to playing without him on one level. But on the other side, you do have to adjust because there's no other way to do things.
Yeah, I think you can't account for his production from one player, but they have adapted, I think, certainly to playing without him. You know, they struggled very badly against the Green Bay Packers without him. I think that was the very next game after that. But like you mentioned, the guys filling in for him have done a really good job. Tim Dobbins, Daryl Sharpton, of course, Brady, James Barrett, Rude even making plays. And Gary Kubiak said when Cushing got hurt, it was going to be a collective effort. You can't replace a guy like that with just one player. It takes the whole team, not just the defense, but the offense. Everyone is kind of up to their game. The offense has been more explosive in recent weeks to account for some of the issues they've had, lapses they've had on defense. So unfortunate the number 56 will not be a part of this playoff run and hasn't been a part of most of this season, but he is still involved with the team doing what he can, and they're going to just have to count on more guys to make plays in the playoffs. Guys like J.J. Watt, guys like Whitney Merciless, Brooke Street, Connor Barrow, and other guys are just going to have to continue to step up like they have all season long.
Going to be fun to see 56 on the field again next season, but there's a lot of time, a lot of games in between now and then. Nick, good job. Thank you for watching. This has been a Friday Facebook Mailbag.